Thank you.
Many of us spend a great deal of time thinking. We plot and we plan, coming up with what we consider marvelous ideas, certain that we have discovered what is best for us. Now, through our ability to think and to reason, we have confidence in what we have done. Because of this activity, we establish habits of thought, clinging to those ideas that work to our advantage, enjoying results that are both beneficial and convenient. Now, it's true that all of this is helpful. However, it also keeps us stuck in what is beneficial and convenient at that moment. Consequently, we just settle in, not realizing that perhaps something better awaits our attention. Life moves in a forward and upward direction, revealing new ideas and concepts, ones that are compatible with that moment in time, going beyond the accepted practice of times past. Now, forming habits, it can be helpful in many ways. Creating patterns of repetition allow us to perform those mundane activities without actually having to give them much thought. The spiritual psychology class that's taught at this church, it offers a lesson entitled Mental Tools. Now, tools are something that we use. They do not use us. Habits require the work of thought. Therefore, we consider them mental tools. And yes, we should make them work for us. For instance, for those of us who have a difficult time remembering where we put our keys, it is helpful to form a habit of keeping them in the same place every time. When all of you first learned how to drive a car, you discovered it was necessary to put certain things into place before you drove off into traffic. And so you adjusted the mirrors. You buckled your seatbelt. You made sure you had shut the door, etc., etc., before you drove into traffic. Now, in time, this habit became second nature, and you no longer had to give so much thought to it. Oh, yes, yes, you still did these things. It's just that now they were done automatically as the established habit. When we consider habits of thought, we notice how seldom our thoughts dwell in the present. They are continually reverting to the past or turning to the future. The present moment with all of its fullness and its riches is oftentimes given but little consideration compared to those thoughts given to the past and to the future. This habit of thought is a mistake. By lingering in the past, we are bound to events and experiences that are over. And when we allow our thoughts to dwell in the future, we develop the habit of postponement. Now, what I mean is this. Because we do not understand and appreciate the fullness of this present time, we postpone. We look to the future for our good, and therefore, our thoughts turn naturally to where we believe our treasure to be, always a place that is not yet within our reach. Now, if we continue to place our good into some future date, then exactly what is our expectation? You see, the future cannot be lived. What we put aside for future times can only appear when that future time arrives. And when it does arrive, it does so as the present moment. Several days ago, we turned that calendar and we discovered a new year. On the eve of its arrival, we may have gathered with family and friends to just commemorate that event. For many, it is a tradition to gather together on New Year's Eve to say goodbye to that old year and to welcome the new year. Now, this habit of tradition is to recall the events of past years, sometimes with regret, other times with fond remembrance, again dwelling on the past. It is also a time to extend best wishes for a very happy, prosperous new year, again dwelling on the future. At that New Year's Eve celebration, I dare say few, if any, dwell on the experience of the moment. A gathering of family and friends. Could we not simply enjoy one another's company? Now, one thing that I can assure you is that this new year will bring both sorrow and joy, regret, acceptance, remorse, and gratitude. And I can say this because that is what life brings us. It is what happens in our world of experience. However, this is okay because each one has a message to give. Each has its purpose and its reason. And we should not feel defeated, and nor should we judge it. The Bible does remind us that everything does have its season, its time of expression. But also let us remember that the time of expression is not in the past, nor is it in the future, but in the ever-present now. I do think it is appropriate to gather with family and friends at the time of a new year, simply considering it a new beginning. It is a fresh slate. It's blank, waiting for us to write on it, to fill in all of those empty spaces. A new beginning provides the opportunity for us to do things differently, to reconsider our patterns of attitude, beliefs, and acceptance. So what are we waiting for? The old year is over. Its time has expired. We do our writing in the moment. However, if we do not change our habits of thought, nothing different will happen. How can it? To continue in that same old way keeps us stuck in the same old way. Circumstances and conditions, they remain the same. And those old ruts that we have dug, well, they just grow deeper and more narrow. The flow of life moves in a forward, upward, onward direction. Its activity demands that we keep pace or we will be left behind. And you know, it is all up to us. We are the ones that determine our view, the attitude, thoughts, and acceptance. When we pick up that pencil and begin to write on our blank slate, we must do so with fresh insight and inspiration. And yes, it will require a new habit of thought. But the wonderful thing about all of this is that we really can begin at any time, right where we are. We do not allow that calendar on the wall to dictate our actions or to tell us when it is time for a new beginning. You know, every moment is a new beginning, and that's really all we need to say about it. Scripture announces this day as the only one that matters, the only one that counts. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Truly, this is where we do our work. Now, some individuals think it's necessary to call up the past in order to learn from its experience. We question, how can we do better if we do not look at what we have done, examine exactly what went wrong, and then try to fix it? After all, we do not want to keep making the same mistakes over and over again. So we continue with this line of reasoning. In order to shape our lives in a different way, would it not be necessary for us to remember past experiences so that we may study those lessons that they teach and then plan wisely for the future? After all, we have all heard it said that experience is a wonderful teacher. Some individuals consider it the only instructor. Nona Brooks addresses these questions in this way. When, with all earnestness, we turn our attention to the present and search for its riches, we find here with us always a teacher who is far above the accumulated experience of the entire world. We find here equipment for the whole of life and for every conceivable condition of life. We do not have to go to the past or to the future for anything. We do not have to search outside us for any good that we may seek. Now, do we truly understand what Nona Brooks is telling us? The divine presence in us is the only teacher we will ever need. This teacher does not ask about our past experience, considering our acts of commission or omission, nor are we asked what we personally would like to see happen in the future. The voice of inner guidance does not really know about time. Time does not exist in the realm of spirit. Likewise, when we live in the present, a concept of time has no existence for us, so we can just let it go. All we will ever need is available and at hand now. Remember, Jesus always spoke of the fullness of the eternal now as the time of expression and completion. All that is really interesting, vital, and true is concentrated in the present hour. Now, as human beings, we may believe in our good, but only as something that comes to us in the future. We crucify the consciousness of the present between recollections of the past and anticipations for the future. The thief on the cross was looking for his good as something to come to him when he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Jesus replied, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Jesus did not say, "I will have to think about that. I will see what I can do." Nor did he tell the thief that he was not yet ready for the kingdom. He did not speak of repentance or atonement. The word today means now. Jesus would not allow the thief to postpone his good until some future time. Now, this would be the thought of the human being. human being thinks that their good comes to them from a source outside them. So this is what we do. As a result, we develop a dependency on others, on people, places, and things. We depend on individuals for our friendship and companionship. We rely on them to make our life complete, to make us feel happy and secure. We ask others to employ us, to instruct us, or to nourish us. And then we cater to individuals that we think can help us climb the ladder of success. There are even times when we use this same habit of thought to avoid those we think may want something from us. Those who look to us to feed them or to provide support in some way. And so we continue this pattern throughout life, seeking and searching, avoiding and shunning, all in the name of what we consider our good. You see, we simply do not understand that our good is inside us. Jesus placed our good in the kingdom of heaven. Now, it is not necessary for us to lay down that physical body in order to enter into heaven. You see, heaven is consciousness of the presence of God. It is spiritual realization of that which is within, but also at hand, the omnipresent God and the Christ within. However, a certain death is required. We do need to die to those old concepts, the ones about God, about life, and about us. And we really must adjust our habits of thought and our beliefs. While all of this is necessary, it's not easy for us to do as human beings. We must come out from among those thoughts entertained by the general population. I believe that that thief on the cross recognized Jesus as Christ, as the child of God, acknowledging there was such a thing as a kingdom of good. He asked Jesus to remember him so that he could receive his good. He simply did not know of the here-ness and the now-ness of God's work. And so it is with us. Those of us who are here this morning, we're interested in truth. Well, we really wouldn't be here. We have read, and most of us have studied. And to a certain degree, we have come out from among the thoughts entertained by the general population, bearing witness to Jesus Christ and that kingdom of good. We have gone beyond established habits of thought, beyond attitude and acceptance. And now it is a matter of practicing and living what it is we have learned. We've also discovered the value of the moment, the significance of the present time. We pray and we meditate in the solitude of the moment. We do have problems. We have circumstances and conditions. We have difficulty with the experiences that life brings. Oh yes, we have read that passage in the Bible that tells us that each has its time of expression. Each has that purpose and reason in that lesson. Still, we struggle, and there are times when we find us in a place of uncertainty concerning what it is that we have studied and what it is that we have learned. There is a familiar hymn entitled, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." The words go like this: "What a friend we have in Jesus. all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And then it continues on. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. God already knows all about us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Remember, He created us and He gave us life. When we turn to His presence, He remembers us as His only begotten child. He already knows of all those human struggles and uncertainty. He knows that there are times when, yes, we do find us in a difficult place. There are times when we are not quite still enough to find our way to His kingdom. However, God also knows that these conditions are fleeting aspects of humanhood. They come and they go. This too shall pass, and that is not who we are. The invitation is given. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Now, if God already knows all about us, what we're going through, then exactly what do we carry to Him in prayer that He does not already know? What could we possibly show Him or tell Him that He doesn't already know? Well, to me, this is how I look at it. It is a time to acknowledge that while I am suffering in a human way, I know that God never leaves me. And all I want at that moment of prayer is to be in His presence, to feel His love, and be comforted by Him. So this is what I take to Him in prayer. I enter as an empty vessel with a receptive heart, asking Him to fill me with His remembrance. And then that becomes my prayer. When we build into consciousness confidence of the ever-present Spirit, it helps us to go forward with a peace of mind and joy and accomplishment. We clear away the old habits of thought, not by beating ourselves up mentally, but by opening the mind and the feeling nature to that silent creative activity of infinite mind. Therefore, this is our lesson. Be still and know. Turn to me. You will find me. Be not afraid. I am here. What more can we possibly say? Not much, but infinitely more can be realized. Infinity lies before us, and eternity is ours now. This morning we have the opportunity to be still and turn within and say, "Speak, Lord, I am listening." Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we prepare for a moment of silence. And in the solitude of that moment, we are consciously aware of God's presence. There is none else. The concerns and the fears of the world, they melt away. Our soul reveals the holy sanctuary of inner being. It is our refuge, our security, and our protection. The invitation is given. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving. Come unto me. You will find me. There is an infinite storehouse of blessings that never runs dry. Lift up your eyes and behold what God has in store for you. The inner ear, it hears the voice, and the receptive heart receives the message. Let us keep it holy and sacred. It's meant just for us, because each has his own revelation. The true teacher dwells in us. This is our sufficiency. Be still and know is the command. What is of God is sure and certain, nothing to be added and nothing to be taken away. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.